Therapy tends to be very healing focused. Coaching can definitely do some healing, but is very much forward focused.
Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully and, in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story, and I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD.
Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. I cannot wait for you to meet your new friend, Jessica Heimsoff. Jessica is a Christian ADHD life coach. She uses faith, mindset, and targeted ADHD strategies to help people, especially moms, clarify their goals, get things done, and become the people they were born to be. Now, I get a ton of questions about what exactly is ADHD coaching, and how do I know if it's right for me, and how do I pick the right person to coach me, and what is the difference between coaching and therapy? So we're going to get into all that, because when you have somebody cheering you along on your side the whole way through, we can be so much more successful. So if you've been considering hiring a life coach, this is a great episode to figure out who the right person is for you and where to start. So let's jump in to our conversation with Jessica. All right, mamas, let's welcome Jessica Heimsoff to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm caffeinated and fabulous. I'm excited to be talking to you.
I have been waiting for this for a while. You've been on my list and I'm excited that all came together. For you listening, I have major internet drama this week. And so I was really worried we're going to have to reschedule, and I'm just happy it came together. So let's jump into the good stuff. Would you give me, you know, the Reader's Digest version of your diagnosis story, in that, like, were you diagnosed younger or older, and how that affected your life and your journey?
I was officially diagnosed after I had already become a coach, but I self-diagnosed in my mid-20s. And my entire life, I had been kind of an overachiever, very good grades, good in the classroom. So it had never occurred to anyone that I had ADHD, because my grades, people thought that if you have good grades, then you must not. If you can read long books in one day, then you must not have ADHD. So after college, I immediately got married and then started trying to write novels. And that did not go well. And I ended up a couple of years later just feeling horrible about myself, so unmotivated, not cleaning my home, fighting with my husband. Problem, 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 problem. I was seeing a therapist who suggested I might have ADHD. And of course, when I cracked the internet on that, it was like, oh.
It all comes together.
Yes, it all came together. And I was one of the, usually people, there's two types. There's some that are horrified they have ADHD when they find out, and there are some that are so relieved, and I was just so relieved. So of course I started studying all about it and learned that there was coaching, and just my life really about faced at that point. I think I was 25 or 26 was when I self-diagnosed.
I love that you're very open about that, because it's definitely been, I think, like a point of contention on the internet of like, can you self-diagnose? Is this a valid thing? And I guess like my like can answer is yes, you can self-diagnose. It is very like, you know yourself the best, and you can read all the information and go, wow, that is me. But I always put the but. I do think it's a good idea to speak to a professional, because usually if you have ADHD, that is not your only problem.
So, that's exactly right. That's one of multiple reasons why I would say definitely do talk to a professional, because the symptoms of ADHD could also be the symptoms of auditory processing disorder, or it could be depression and not ADHD. They kind of mimic each other often, or it could be multiple other things, and a professional can help you with that. Right. With me, the self-diagnosis was more like, I don't need anyone to tell me that these behaviors are the ones that I do. And this is the kind of thinking that I exhibit. And therefore, these strategies will probably help me. So that was why self-diagnosis was everything that I needed at the time. And then I went on to get my diagnosis for the reasons that we've talked about. And getting on medication would be another good one. I had another one in my head, but I don't remember what it was.
That's okay. The beauty of ADHD is that it'll probably come back to you in a little bit.
It'll probably come back.
And if not, we'll all be okay. So when you think about your ADHD and your motherhood, where do you see your biggest struggles come into play?
I think it's almost like because ADHD has led me to some what I would label as failures in my past, it's very easy to be anxious about what I'm able to provide for my children. So there's a lot of questions that come up, like, are you doing enough? Are you being enough? I'd say that's pretty typical of all moms, but for someone with ADHD, it's like, you're going to screw them up because you have this in your past and you're not going to teach them the right skills and they're not going to function in society because they're going to experience all of the pain that you experience. And it just like builds like that. Like if I could tell ADHD moms one thing, it's that you're not going to screw them up. You are keep going, keep showing them how to be a messy human being. But those thoughts, they don't just go away. Even when you work on them as hard as a lot of people that I know do, they're just going to keep coming up and you have to keep constantly like retraining your brain what to think.
I would say, I totally want to jump into that, but I'm like, I'm going to hold on to that because we're going to talk about it in a minute. So yeah. I'm like, stay on track. When you're looking at your past and where you were leading, how did you end up saying, okay, like clearly you wanted to be a novelist. How did you end up being an ADHD coach?
That's a really good question. I think that as I was not writing books, as I was a novelist who was not writing, I was working in a restaurant and I was figuring out more about what I liked to do and how I liked to relate to people and what I wanted to do in the world. And when I stepped back from just, I like writing books, I realized that I really enjoyed being able to learn about other people. Every human is a character, right? I loved character building when I was writing. There are real characters out there that you can just learn about, and that's fun for me. So I love learning about other people, and I love making meaning or finding meaning. And coaching is a lot of that. It also provides me a lot of different options for variety. I get to decide how I want to work with people. I get to write if I want. I get to speak if I want. There's a lot of flexibility there, and I liked that. I thought, wow, this fits my ADHD. It fits some of my passions. So it was really kind of stepping back from deciding I have to do this because I like it and more like, what is the underlying piece of this career that could apply to something else? And then coaching just like fit right in to all of that.
But how did you know that you needed to step back and dig into that root?
I think I knew because I had wanted to be a writer for so long. And then when I was introduced to the field of coaching, I thought, oh, that would be interesting. And now we have the typical ADHD conundrum of like, I want to do many things. Can I do them all? I don't know. I don't think so. They say I can't. And so that's actually what I would recommend to anybody who has multiple different passions or careers they want to do or hobbies they want to pursue is that if you have a lot, stepping back to see what's the connector is a really great idea. So that's what I ended up, I think, it's funny, I'm looking back, I'm like, I have no idea, but looking back, it was like, I have options. How do I choose? I'm going to step back and see what matters at the core and then take the step that also aligns with some of my other goals. And coaching much more aligned with some of the other things that I wanted to do, including spend a lot of time with my kids and directly impact other people's health and happiness.
I've heard several people say that that's what they've done. And I haven't found anyone who really knows how they knew that. And so it fascinates me that like, is that just part of our ADHD brains make connections that other people don't necessarily see? And I'm like, not to say that you have to answer the question, but it fascinates me that for me, I learned that in, there's a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? And it is I guess you would call it like a career advice book where I got it because I thought this guy was going to tell me what I should do with my life. And of course, I don't remember the author's name at the top of my head, but he talks about inventorying all the things that you're good at and then looking at the things that you actually enjoy, finding where the overlap is because you need to be good at them and also like doing them. And then in finding those connections of where they fit. And that's part of where I ended up at teaching. But yet it's funny because I also recently was going through a bunch of like old junk and cleaning out things. And I found my third grade time capsule. What did I want to be in the third grade? A teacher. I just clearly didn't listen to myself. It's
funny.
But I've noticed a lot of ADHD people can pull those connections together on their own without reading. A very good book if anybody needs to inventory their skills. So just, I don't know, kind of like a rhetorical question, I guess.
I think that's interesting that we often have this syndrome where we have all of these things we want to do. But if you think about it, we've also been given the ability to make really random connections, really to jump and to make meaning out of things like that. So it's almost like we've been given the answer to the problem built in, which is a really fun way of looking at that.
I'm like, okay, I could also dive all into this. I'm like, but I got to I keep my podcast episodes short so that our ADHD brains can stick with the whole thing. So I really want to jump into understanding what ADHD coaching is, because it's definitely been growing in popularity recently. And a lot of people ask me, like, what's the difference between that and therapy? And why would I do that and not the other and this? And I get a lot of questions on it. So I'm excited to pick your brain on first, just a general definition of what it is, and then what's the goal of it and who would benefit from having an ADHD coach?
So what ADHD coaching is, but basically it's assisted pursuit of a goal in the same way that an Olympic athletic coach helps somebody get to the Olympics. He looks at what they are eating. He looks at their form. He corrects little pieces. He asks questions about how things are going. He shows up to be accountability. An ADHD coach does the same thing with the goal in mind from the client. So a client says, I want to be able to do this, help me get there. And that's what the coach does. All coaching is different from therapy in that it's very future focused. It's how do I move forward towards something? Whereas therapy tends to be, how do I heal a trauma or a disorder? How do I make peace with my past and what has happened to me? Therapy tends to be very healing focused. Coaching can definitely do some healing, but is very much forward focused. And a good therapist will do some coaching and a good coach will do some healing. So there's some overlap, but a lot of coaches don't know much about disorders. An ADHD coach should know a lot about ADHD. A good coach will know a lot about it. That doesn't mean they have to have it themselves, but it does mean they need to understand when you say, hey, I can't get up and go to the bathroom, or I can't put my socks on. Like, they know that and they know why, because they understand typical ADHD brains and why they might be like that. So that's what coaching is. The goal will be anything that the client brings. What is it that you want the most? And how do we get you there based on what you need to be doing in your life, changing actions, thoughts, strategy? I think the people who will benefit the most are, number one, the ones who are feeling stuck. You feel really stuck and you're like reading the books and you're learning about yourself, but you still feel like I'm not making progress. Those will benefit a lot. People will benefit a lot if they just want one and it sounds fun. Having a coach help you with a goal out of, this sounds like a lot of fun, I really want to work with someone, that's a great reason, honestly. It's the reason that I'm currently using. And then a big thing is, to really be helped a lot by a coach, you have to be willing to consider the idea that you have power over your circumstances, that you can take responsibility for at least some parts of your life and that you can change. If you're wanting the things around you to change, coaching won't be able to help you with that. You have to be able to step up and say, okay, I can do something. And that's a really great place to be in. So yeah.
Now, if I'm thinking about finding an ADHD coach, how do I find the right person for me?
Good question.
Mama, are you looking for some extra support? Could you use a few more like-minded mamas in your circle? Here is your official invitation to join our Facebook group, the Motherhood and ADHD Community. Here you can ask questions, share advice, but most importantly, know that you're not alone. Click on the link in the show notes or search on Facebook for Motherhood and ADHD Community. So come join our little corner of the internet with other mamas who know how your brain works and won't look at you crazy when you share what's floating around inside there. Instead, they'll say, I get it. I've been there and I know how that is. So come on, what are you waiting for? See you in there. Again, that's the Motherhood in ADHD Community on Facebook.
Here's my best advice for that. The right person for you will be somebody who you just like them. Don't hire a coach you don't like. You're not going to want to be open and vulnerable with them. You like them as a person. And that means you're going to have seen them and or heard them in some way, whether that's the content on their website, their podcast. It could be just a quick call with them, but you really connected. So you like them, you connect with them as one. Another good way, if you're really trying to figure out how do I know this is the right person, is their free material, because most coaches have some way of offering you value ahead of time. I have an Instagram account. A lot of coaches do podcasts or have a website. Does their free material help you in some way? Does it give you hope? Does it sound logical? Do you like the way that they're conveying ideas? And then talking to them about your goals and hearing how they propose solving them is another great way to know that this is probably the coach for me. Some people might have methods that you're just not thrilled with and you want to be able to buy in at least 50%, right? You're going to be like, I'm pretty sure this will work. And that can involve some trial and error. Right? That can involve contacting people and deciding, okay, that one, probably not my first choice, or just being willing to dabble in some podcasts for a while and really pay attention to the way that they convey information.
Do you have to have any kind of like special training to become a coach, or should I be looking for like certain experience from somebody if I'm trying to find the right person?
So the coaching industry is not regulated. So there's no requirement. I could feasibly have had no training at all, started a coaching business and be helping people. That being said, there are certifications that are given and you can research those to see, I kind of like what these people are teaching over here. I'd like to find a coach that teaches the same modalities. Or where I was trained initially is a place called ADCA.com, ADDCA.com. And they specifically train ADHD coaches. Well, that's useful to know, right? If somebody has a certification working with ADHD. So certifications are useful, but they're not everything. What you want to be able to do is witness transformation in your exchanges with a coach. I have on every consult or discovery call that I've had with a coach that I then hired, on that consult call, they helped me see something in a different way. They showed me how good they were right then. And then they were also able to say, I can help you with this. I 100% can help you with this and explain to me how. So a certification can be important. It may not be the one thing that you're looking for. And leaning on a certification, there are people who are certified that won't connect with you either. So they're important. They're not everything.
So if I'm understanding it right, when you look at someone's certification, you get a better idea of their background and their methodologies. And you also know, maybe I just made this up, you didn't say this, but like their commitment level of like, they're like in it and committed and are working towards improvement.
Yeah, but that's a good point. If they're actively seeking to improve themselves as coaches, that signifies something to you, that it's not like a get rich quick scheme. You'll know that pretty quickly, in my opinion. Like you can sniff out somebody who's not there to help you and who's not good at what they do.
Yeah, I think that is a gift of ADHD that a lot of us have, not all of us, but many of us have, that we kind of have a pretty good BS meter. And so we do, you know, have that special fairy dust in there of being able to read, like, is this person truly here to help me? But I love what you said, that what matters most is, are you connecting with them? Do you feel like they're going to be able to help you when you talk to them? Are they already assisting you? Like if you walk away from a coach and you're still like, I don't really know what this person's going to do for me, that's a pretty good red flag of like, not a good match. Like I look at it kind of like dating. You know, when you first chat with somebody, you kind of get a feel of like, okay, this might go somewhere. If you leave that first chat and you're like, like don't go out with them.
No, don't go on a second date. That's not good.
Just let it go, because there will be somebody that you connect with. There will be somebody that really gets you and you feel like, wow, this person is going to make the difference for me.
Yeah. That's another thing you just said that gets you, like a good fit for you. We'll be able to kind of explain the problems that you're going through in a way that you're like, yes, thank you. Somebody understands. They will be able to explain that to you and echo your words back to you, or even say things that you haven't told them yet. Like they will get parts of you that you're so glad to have somebody see a lot of times.
Can you walk me through what your first meeting or two looks like for people who are like, well, I want to try it, but it's like scary and unknown. How can I feel good about going in knowing like this is sort of what I would get in the first?
I can't really speak. Well, I suppose I can speak for a lot of coaches. I'm in several business groups with a lot of coaches. And what most of us do is a free consult session. Some people call it discovery call. Some people call it by other names. It's essentially just usually a Zoom meeting or a phone call where the general agenda is we want to talk about what you want. We want to talk about why you are not getting it, why you're stuck. Talk about how the coach, in this case me, how I can help this person get what it is that they're after. And then to ascertain, do we want to take the next step from there? Most coaches that I know have a similar process, and they're free for a reason. It's for both people. It's because I want to be able to offer somebody hope and encouragement and to help them decide if coaching with me is a good idea. And if it's not, that's great. Like, I get to feel really good about my consult call because I help somebody move on to the next step. So a lot of people, I think, don't want to sign up for these consults because they feel that they might be pressured or they don't know what they're going to be asked. And to be fair, sometimes you might be pressured. So that is a possibility. What I would recommend in that case is just for you to have like a stock phrase ready. Like, I don't want to make a decision right now. Thank you. Like, if you feel pressured, if you feel good about making a decision and they can walk you through that, that's part of what a coach does. But anytime you feel pressure to have a stock phrase so you can back yourself out of it. That's just an example of just preparing yourself for something that might happen. But those consult calls are, a lot of people are very happy to do that with you and to help you get to that next step, whatever that might be.
Once we meet together, do I have to do homework? And what does that entail from my end of like, do I know going in, I'm going to have to spend like 2 hours a week working on something? Or it's definitely going to be, I mean, obviously, like, without having a specific person in mind, we can't be like, and now you will write 3 journal pages. what does that look like? Obviously, like, you're meeting with somebody one-on-one, but then that in-between time, what am I expected to do as your client?
What's most interesting to me about this is I just changed this in my business too, where what I would ask, if you said, am I going to be expected to do homework? I would ask my client, like, what is that going to mean to you? And if it's going to be something that weighs you down, and it's going to make you feel like, oh, there's one more thing I have to add to my plate. I don't really have time for that. You know, I can't think when I sit down to do this homework. Then it's like, no, absolutely not. We won't be doing any homework. We will do everything on our calls. If you're somebody who, like me, is like, give me all the extra work. I want to do stuff. I want to go fast. Then I'd be like, yeah, I have worksheets. I have extra credit questions. We can do whatever works for you. For what I'm really kind of soaking in this year is that strategies don't work for everyone. And when they do work, it'll be paired with your emotions. You need to feel good about things before you're pursuing them. So if somebody's going to feel miserable doing homework, we're not doing homework. Or we might talk through it until we find a way for them to feel much, much better about it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for explaining kind of this mystery behind it, because in my little Instagram community, I have a lot of coaches. And so I feel like I'm pretty familiar with what goes on, but when you're not in it already, it feels overwhelming. And it feels like, okay, I think this might be good, but now I'm going to have to do a lot of steps to figure this out. Do I want to do a lot of steps? So for someone to be able to listen and be like, okay, I understand now what's expected of me, what my first step is, you know, in theory, I won't be super pressured. But also if I am, then that probably also gives you an idea of like, is this the person you want to work with? Maybe it's not. So you can kind of like read into that and having your preparation of like, okay, I know I'm going to say this. And so I don't have to feel like it was a snap decision, because then, you know, when we do things impulsively, the shame spiral starts. Yeah. So having
the other thing, because I just had a thought about that, which is if you're really vibing with a coach and you feel pressured, it'll be a great time to talk through that with them. Because if you really liked them, they should be able to handle these kind of emotions in you as well. So bringing it up would be another option. If you like them, you kind of want to work with them, but you feel pressured, you could mention that to them and see how they handle that situation as well. Because you could still back out after they've talked to you about it. But if they handled it super well, like, that's an incredible amount of trust that you just gained for them.
I'm better about it now. But when I think back, if this were me like 2 or 3 years ago, I wouldn't even have set up a discovery call.
Yeah.
Because I would have felt like, if I change my mind, then I wasted their time. And then I feel bad that I should sign up for them, even though I don't think this is the right thing for me.
Yeah.
Whereas now I have the understanding of this is a mutually beneficial meeting this 15 minutes isn't going to kill anybody. Your business not ending because you spent 15 minutes with somebody. But you also want to know, is this somebody I want to work with? Because they might be somebody that you don't mesh with, or they want help in something that you're like, that's not really my thing. Like, there's probably somebody who could help you better with that. Whatever the reason is, it's for both sides to be like, yes, this is somebody I want to work with. And so it's beneficial for them too. So we don't have to feel guilty of like, oh, I'm wasting their time if I spend 15 minutes chatting with them.
And here's the thing too, like, this may be something your audience doesn't know. I've recently gone from having an open, anyone could book a consult with me, to an application. So people answer questions and then I reach out if I think we look like a good fit. And that's because I'm on a wait list now. My time is a little more tight, not the right word, but I've got a lot that I could be doing with my time. I don't have much space. What I was before with these open consults that you could just book, it's like, that's for you. Take it. It's yours. Now, because I want to protect that time, I've arranged my life differently. So the coaches who have that open availability, I'd love for everyone listening to just like see that as time that is theirs to claim and not to feel any obligation towards that coach at all.
Well, Mama, we're going to pause there. Be sure to hit subscribe on your podcast app so that you get part two, because the second half of this interview was absolutely mind blowing. And surprise, surprise, I was definitely crying. We are going to talk about what keeps us from attaining our goals. What are the faulty thought processes that keep us from moving forward? We talk about reflecting and sitting in frustrating or hard or uncomfortable emotions. And we also talk through, when is it time to be growing and making changes? And when is it okay to just be where you are? This is going to be an incredibly powerful conversation, and I cannot wait for you to listen. So have an amazing week, Successful Mama. We'll talk soon. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.